Welcome to the Dungeon of Delirium podcast.
Holidays, haggard hags and hideous henchmen, and welcome to our holiday special. This episode will close out our first season and our 2023, so we want to take a moment to thank everyone who has tuned in this year. It means a lot. As always, I am your host, Drew Silda. When we return in 2024, we'll have a brand new YouTube show that's all mine. We'll be bringing you cursed puppetry, animated eldritch horrors, transmissions from beyond the reach of time and space, and other horrors we can't even speak of, lest we cause your heads to swell with madness. Tonight's story takes us north. Like way, way north, to a little outpost in the Arctic Circle where Mean Meg and Quiet Mike have to fight for their lives against the tide of an endless night. Without further ado, the Ballad of Mean Meg.
You all right?
Oh, I'm okay, I think. Help me to the fire.
Of course. Looks like we've both had better days. Is it day?
It's 7 a.m. according to my watch.
Be a lot easier to tell if the sun ever rose in this godforsaken place.
Forsaken implies the good Lord ever set foot here. After the night I've had, well, I've got my doubts.
Brother, you're telling me. Boy, have I had a wild one. You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
I'm David. Dr. David Smithwick. I'm a scientist here at the Pole.
Meg. Mean Meg, if we're friends. I work at the mortuary.
There's a mortuary here?
I suppose lots of folks die up here. We just keep them on ice until someone can claim them. Mostly we gotta make sure the local wildlife don't get to them.
Ugh. The local wildlife.
Hey, it's 7 a.m. That means it's Christmas morning. Merry Christmas, Dr. Smithwick.
Just David is fine. Do you have any food in your pack?
Sure do. Looks like I have a couple cans of Spam.
Shall we?
Merry Christmas. I'll start the cooking.
Merry Christmas, Meg.
Mean Meg. I can tell we're going to be friends.
Merry Christmas, Mean Meg. I'm glad I bumped into you. I thought for sure I'd be left to thaw in the spring. You wouldn't believe the night I've had. It has shaken my very belief in science, of the world I thought that I knew.
Try me.
I'm afraid you'll think I've gone mad.
Tell you what. I'll tell you about my night, and if you don't think I've gone mad, You can tell me about yours.
Oh, that sounds like a fair deal.
I took this job because I was desperate. Because I was running, I suppose. Running from the monotony of life back home in North Dakota. The cold turns most people off, and I can't say I hardly blame them. Changing clothes or taking out the trash becomes an entirely different animal when it's miles below zero with a wind chill that never lets up. The cold don't bother me too much. North Dakota isn't quite this bad, and sure, the sun comes up in the morning, but at least I had half a mind of what I was getting myself into. The guy who runs this mortuary, if you really call it that, is Quiet Mike. He used to be Loudmouth Mike in the war until he lost his voice on Omaha Beach 25 years ago. Now he's Quiet Mike. He knew my father in the war, and that's how I ended up here on top of the world. See, I know a bit of sign language on account of my brother being hard of hearing. And Mike, he prefers that to writing everything down. Writing gets real tough when it's colder than hell outside. Sign language ain't much easier, but I could speak to Mike, and he seemed more than able to keep up the sign language, even in the cold. I got up here 3 months ago, not really knowing what the job was. I was surprised when Quiet Mike gave me weapons before he'd even given me the tour of the place. A ranged rifle, a sawed-off shotgun, a hatchet, a combat knife.
Make sure not to touch the metal with your bare hands,
he had signed to me. What are we using these for? I had asked. I understood it was a guard post, but it wasn't like we had to worry about teenagers or vagrants this far north.
The local wildlife,
came his reply. The first few weeks were uneventful. Mike and I got along fine. I think he was happy to have someone to break up the boredom. Someone who understood his signing. I could hardly blame him. This close to the pole, it was dark for half the year. I could hardly imagine being totally alone here. As it was, we slept in shifts, so the place was never vulnerable. I didn't see the reason. So far, nothing had showed its face. Have you ever had to use one of these guns, Mike? Up here, I mean.
You bet. You will too.
Polar bears? I asked. I read those things could get to be 10 feet tall. How many bullets would it take to put those bastards on their ass? Mike nodded. I had seen stark white foxes, owls, rabbits. Luckily, no bears. We even saw a pack of real-life reindeer passing through. I shit you not, they had red noses. Mike explained that their noses helped keep them warm. They're red because they run extra hot to cool down the air before they breathe it in. Smart. I could use one of those. Another couple of weeks went by, and things remained calm. We had a little Thanksgiving dinner, or the closest approximation to one you could make up here. I was beginning to like Mike. He reminded me of my father, or at least how I remembered him. December 1st is when the wind started to change.
Meg, I have to be honest with you.
Mike signed.
It's gonna get bad these next few days. It's time I showed you what we're up against.
I had awoken to a loud bang. Not a gunshot, though that's what I had thought at first. It had been the teeth of a bear trap snapping shut. When I'd gotten out of bed and grabbed my shotgun, Mike was already up and prowling around quietly.
Come with me. We're going to check the trap.
He gestured silently. Nothing could prepare me for what we saw when we entered the storage room. It was the largest room in the building on account of storing about 15 frozen bodies. It was lit with a few dim incandescents. The lights always pulsed in that place. The generators were weak and inconsistent. I could hear something grunting in the corner and could see the floors streaking with blood. The chain from the bear trap rattled and smeared the blood trail across the tile floor. The chain wound around a table and disappeared into the darkness of the far corner. Mike put his hand up to tell me to hold where I was.
Ready your shotgun,
he signed. Mike was in his early 50s, but he was strong and vital. He wrapped his arms around the chain silently and carefully. In a sudden motion, he yanked on the chain hard, putting his full body into it. A screaming, writhing form slid into light. Short, but seemingly human, maybe 5 foot tall. Its face was streaked with blood where it had been gnawing on its own leg. It wore white and red striped stockings, which were mostly crimson from the blood seeping from its wounded ankle. Its eyes bulged with hatred as it stared daggers at Quiet Mike. Atop its head, a green pointed hat tucked behind large pointed ears. Mike pressed a boot into the creature's chest and drew out his hatchet. He looked at me momentarily, then turned back to the seething, ravenous monster. The creature thrashed its arms, hands sporting long, razor-sharp talons at Mike's legs. Mike was resolute and swung down towards the creature's throat. Over and over he swung that hatchet until he was covered in blood, and the creature's head had rolled away from its body. The body continued to thrash and fight the chain for several minutes after beheading. What the fuck, Mike? What is it? I spat.
Ghouls.
Mike spelt out in the quickly drying blood. I guess he didn't know the sign for this particular form of local wildlife.
More will be coming. They can smell blood, and they get hungry this time of year. They'll eat each other, but what they really want are the stiffs in these drawers. Eaters of the dead. Foul, disgusting creatures.
He pointed to my shotgun.
Both barrels at the center of the chest. You'll have about 15 seconds to remove the head before it starts to heal.
I looked at the headless body on the ground. Its leg had started to regrow itself around the bear trap, now a hideous tangle of flesh and metal. In the pool of blood, a small wooden airplane. A child's toy.
We've got to burn this body, or we'll be sat on by dozens in a few hours.
And so that's how it went. Each night we would have more and more of the vicious ghouls prowling around, following the smell of cold, dead flesh across the unforgiving tundra to our camp.
We can't ever let them get away with a body. I'm not much of a religious man, but I can't imagine a soul passes on when one of them things has it in their belly. If they take one, we have to be prepared to follow. That's only fair.
It was a forever night, and the attacks grew more frequent, vicious, and the beasts came in greater numbers. I'd see them on the horizon, tearing at the throats of reindeers, faces glistening in blood, the heat of their kill rising in the jet-black sky. They would scream and taunt us, standing far enough away to draw fire from the range rifles. Fire they could walk away from, waiting us out. Last night it had all come to a head. Mike and I were eating dinner. I'd been on watch all day and hadn't seen one of those awful monsters with their beady black eyes and blood-stained jowls. A Christmas miracle. He was about to take over for me when we heard the screams. Countless screams cutting through the wind and signaling their approach. Outside, they had amassed by the dozens. We were low on ammo for the rifles, and they must have known that. All along, they must have been wearing us down, testing our defenses and bleeding our ammo dry. Of course they knew we had shotguns, and plenty of ammo for those. But we could hardly defend against 30 or 40 of the ghouls with just those. I heard the sounds of drums and bells, strangely alien sounding in the bleak and quiet landscape.
The drums of war. For what it's worth, Meg, I am sorry. You should have known what you were getting into.
Mike signed, loading his last couple of rounds into the rifle. It's fine, Mike. We got this. They won't know what hit him. Mike smiled a smile that told me this was the end for him. He had accepted it.
If they take me?
He signed. They gonna take you, Mike.
If they do, burn them all.
The ghouls wasted no time rushing towards the building. A few fell into the bear traps and began furiously gnawing and clawing to free themselves. We took out a handful with our rifles, but they wouldn't stay down long. Better to save most of the ammo for when they breached the door, which they would certainly do at any moment. At least there they'd be close enough to burn or behead, provided we could get them to a choke point. We had decided to fortify in the doorway of the storage room. It was where they'd be headed anyways, and it was the most defensible in the building. We could hear them descending in the building, marching to the foreboding music of drums and bells. We had fortified the doors and windows, but they tore their way in almost immediately. The silent corridor leading to the storage room was filled with the sounds of their sharp, clawed feet scraping against the linoleum. We had doused the room in gasoline. If we couldn't hold them off, it was better to burn up with the corpses than to be eaten alive. Maybe it would have been smarter to have lured them somewhere else and set it ablaze. But we didn't have time to prepare. Once we ran out of shotgun shells, whoever could get to their lighter first was to start the grand finale. I don't know the exact moment when I accepted that I would die, but it was definitely before they breached the door to the storage room. By that point, I was mostly concerned with not leaving a single ghoul standing to eat my remains. I'm not a religious person either, but when Quiet Mike said he didn't think a soul could pass on if one of these bastards ate it, I had no reason to believe otherwise. We had a system for a while, and it worked great. I'd hit him with a shotgun and drag him into the room, and Mike would behead him. It was terrible, never-ending work, but it worked. We could use the heavy metal door to prevent them from pouring in, but they were relentless, and our strength and ammunition were running low. The drums and bells continued in the hall well after midnight. We kept up our executions, but the numbers outside hardly seemed to dwindle. I had 2 shells left, 3 bullets for the range rifle, and my blades. Mike and I exchanged a look. We couldn't hold the door anymore. Mike signed to me with waning strength.
Open the door. Let him in. Let him at me and the bodies. Then let's burn the motherfuckers.
So I did. They reminded me of ants springing out of nowhere the instant an ice cream cone hit the grass. The drums and the bells swelled to a crescendo. Then the drummer came through the door to feast as well. No more marching. Time to feed. It was horrifying and violent and over so very quickly. I did as Mike asked. I set the fire, but I didn't burn. One of the little devils saw what was happening and looked up from Mike's shaking, seizuring body and towards me. I backed out of the door into the now empty hallway and it lunged towards me. I raised my shotgun to fire, but the thing bounded past me to the outdoors. I ran out into the night, coughing and wheezing, the sweat on my forehead freezing instantly in the unforgiving cold. The creature was nowhere to be seen. Behind me, the building spat black flames into the void of the Arctic sky. Screams that sounded like bells accompanied by the pyre. If they take one, we have to be prepared to follow. It's only fair, I thought to myself, recalling Mike's wordless advice. I had to track the bastard down. It wasn't hard. Mike had gotten him with the shotgun before he succumbed to the mass of writhing cannibals. This bastard was bleeding. That or it was Mike's blood, and that would honestly be better because in moments, the thing's wounds would close and I would be lost. They didn't seem to leave footprints, though I could see tracks of fresh blood continuing over the next ridge. I hiked for an hour, but probably made it no more than a mile. I wasn't as fast as this creature, but it would stop once its wounds healed. Then it would turn around and start back for me. I had 1 bullet in the range rifle. If I could put it down quick, I could take its head and burn it. Mike deserved as much. I passed a small facility, a research station, I think, probably where some of the bodies had come from. The blood was sparing now, but still easy to spot on the glassy surface of the ice and snow. It led to a cavern right next to the research building. It must have gone in to lick its wounds. Hopefully it thought I had given up so I could take it quickly. The research building was quiet, and I didn't dare try to involve anyone else in this messy ordeal. I followed the tracks into the cavern. I'd left my flashlight at the mortuary, so I had to rely on my lighter. The aurora borealis was bright that night, and I could make my way to the cave without incident. Only when I descended the passage did the void of blackness set in. There, the blood trail stopped. It was an instant moment of clarity, like when you drop a vase and it hasn't hit the ground yet. I had walked right into a trap. In moments, the thing would descend on me, and I'd join Mike in the digestive purgatory I'd resigned him to. I grabbed my knife and swung backwards. A strike of abject desperation and hopeful faith, and I was rewarded. The blind strike had sunk into the creature's belly as it leapt towards me from the ceiling. The moment of its leap sent us both to the ice, and my face burned as it planted on the frozen floor. Claws rended at my throat. I could feel its hot blood seeping down my knife handle and through my heavy gloved hands. I twisted at the knife as hard as I could. I could feel it cutting the same stubborn flesh again and again as the creature knitted its wounds closed. My eyes were filled with blood and the creature's imprecise slashes covered my face, head, neck, and throat. I couldn't let it get me. I needed to get off the ground. I stood up with what little strength I had, not taking my hand off the blade. The only thing keeping this foul ghoul from overtaking me. I blindly charged backwards, crushing the creature against the wall. It dropped momentarily, and I seized what would surely be my last opportunity to turn the tides in my favor. I spun around and swung my rifle off of my shoulder, right between the eyes. In the faint light of the aurora borealis, I could see its eyes crossing as it clutched to its head wound. I swung my hatchet into the top of its head, splitting it open. The blood looked black in the darkness, like oil or tar. I wasted no time and began dismembering the beast. I burned the remains, here, at this fire, just a couple of hours ago. The cavern is as warm a place as any. I didn't expect to survive the night, so I really didn't have a plan of where to go. And that's when you came along.
Well, it sounds like we've both had quite an eventful evening.
So tell me about yours.
All right, fair enough. I guess it's time I caught you up on my night. Oh, I have some cocoa in my pack. And a little brandy I've been saving for a special occasion.
It's 7 a.m., Dr. Smithwick.
David is fine. I suppose you're right. You can forgive me for not keeping track.
I'm kidding. Pour it up. I'm all ears.
I've been quite hungry these past couple of weeks, eagerly awaiting my Christmas time meal. All the preparations had been made, and my finest hunters were set to bring me a feast with all the fixins. You see, the problem was they underestimated their prey, and here I am, weak and withered, neglecting my Christmas duties. They never returned from the hunt. Well, I haven't had a bite to eat since the real David Smithwick wandered here a year ago last night. And I've grown quite hungry, Mean Meg. Now imagine my surprise and elation when my prey wandered here into my crystal cavern after besting dozens of my most vicious elves. Now that's what I call a Christmas miracle.
Oh! He shot me. Oh!
Didn't you listen to my story?
The Ballad of Mean Meg was written and directed by Kevin Klausman. Executive produced by Kevin Klausman and Chelsea Darling. Narration by Chelsea Darling. Starring Chelsea Darling as Mean Meg, Patrick McRae as Quiet Mike, and Kevin Klausman as David Smithwick. Original score by Kevin Klausman.